My mission is to build people, build a church, not criticize it and pull it down. Like so many people who've never built a church decides they're going to be a church critic. I'd rather be a church builder. And that means, I mean, the church is people. So it's about building people and building individuals. That's how you build a church. So that's really what the essence of this message today is. I want to talk about way to grow. Way to grow, people. And so in Powerhouse today, this is an exciting day in my mind, because I believe that this year, right now, we are moving into a season of fulfillment of many dreams. Don't sit down, people. It's time to stand up, because the days ahead are going to be more demanding, more challenging than you've ever experienced. Not so much from an angle of problem, but from an angle of vision, an angle of dream. And if we step into the dream, it will stretch us. Now, trials often will do that too. But it's better to be stretched by a vision than by a trial. So I want to talk about becoming big people, because I believe Christians should be big people with big dreams and big attitudes, and not small people. A traditional view of Christians is that we are somehow small. Small-minded. I mean, I know some Christians who are so small-minded and narrow-minded, they can see through a keyhole with both eyes. That's kind of small, right? I heard of a friend who went out fishing with a friend, while they're fishing, it was the first time this guy had been out, and he's pulling up the fish, and it's about this big. And he looks at it, and he gets it, and he throws it back. And then he's fishing, and he pulls up another one, and it's this big. So he puts it in a bag, keeps it. Throws out and rolls in another one. It's this big, huge. He throws it back. He puts his line down, pulls up another one. It's only this big. And he keeps it. And my friend who'd be telling us says, "What are you doing? You're throwing back the big ones. You're keeping the little guys." He says, "Well, you don't understand. My frying pan is only this big." You're trying to fit your life into a small mind. You're going to be throwing out the big stuff. You're being critical of the big guys. You'd be cynical of anybody who's trying to be successful. In our church, I would always tell them, look, if anybody rolls up here in a Rolls, and even the latest Rolls, I want you not to look down your nose at them in a typical Christian way and go, how did you get there? I want you to go and congratulate them and say, you look good in a Rolls. Yeah, it suits you. Well done. You must have worked hard for that. Small-minded people, they make my skin itch. I feel like I can't breathe around a small-minded person. I just want to get away. I don't want to. You become like the people you fellowship with. And if you've got a small mind, small heart, you'll hang out with those people because it makes you feel comfortable. But you need to hang out with people who make you uncomfortable. That you're tempted to criticize them because they've got this big house and then they own three others and they got a swimming pool and they take holidays in Europe and my God, you just hate them. Well, that reveals that you're not very big. And you should, rather than gaslight them, have a go at yourself and say, come on, get bigger, man. Have a bigger attitude. Say, congratulations, that is fantastic. And I know when I was a young pastor I had to learn this because I only had 30 people in the church and there'd be one kind of wealthy couple and they got six kids and they come and tell me they're going for a holiday in Europe for 3 months. My God, the church is going to be halved. like the offering's going to disappear. So you're so tempted to go use the God card. You sure this is God? How manipulating is that? But you can get bigger and say, that is fantastic. I'm so thrilled for you guys. You so deserve that. Now they're going to only go for a month because they love all that encouragement. But if you put that God thing on them, oh, is this the Lord? How are you going to last that long? You'll hate each other at the end of the trip. I mean, all those sort of things, Let's get bigger, people. Bigger attitudes, more generous heart. So Isaiah 54, 1 and 2 has guided me in church life a lot. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not born. This is a woman who had never had given birth to a child. Her answer was to sing. Because she wasn't singing, she was grieving over the fact that she didn't have a child. But the prophet says, start singing. And then he says, break forth into singing. If we want a breakthrough out here, we need a breakthrough in here. And the very reason she hadn't broken through in her womb was she hadn't broken through in her spirit. And the fact that she was blocked in her spirit because of her circumstances dictating to her that you haven't got a child, you should be blocked up. It blocked her reproductive abilities. So the prophet says, break through in your spirit. Start singing. Never underestimate the power of your song. Never let the devil steal your song. Never underestimate the power of praise at midnight, people. You get a breakthrough earthquake in your spirit worshiping God. You get a breakthrough earthquake in your prison that's kept you bound. In Jesus' name. My God, this is good preaching, Melbourne. You got to admit. Amen. Okay, so, and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, because more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. This angsts me, people. This gets me going, because there are countries all around Australia in Asia that have less than 5% in their population, in their Christian population. Most of them are around 1%. Many of them are even below 1%. We have a responsibility to reach this world. And as long as there are more of the children of the desolate than that of the married woman, the church, we have a burden to become bigger thinkers. This isn't just an optional extra. This is an absolute imperative that we become bigger in our thinking, bigger in our hearts, bigger in our dreams, bigger in our capacities, and say, we have got to reach this world for Jesus Christ. He could be coming back pretty soon. And he wants a full church. He wants millions of worshipers. I've got a vision that we'll have 1 million worshipers in church on a Sunday morning. Currently, we might have 120, 130,000. That's only 10 times what we've got now around the world. And the fact is, it takes every one of us to commit ourselves to a vision that is bigger than our own paltry kingdom and say, we're going to live for your kingdom and make this church grow. Raise up leaders, raise up evangelists, and build some of the greatest churches in the world right up north of us in Asia, in Jesus' name, and around Australia. Enlarge the place of your tent. Okay, so we want God to make us bigger, but while you're waiting, you could do it yourself. Just make yourself a little bigger. How would I do that? Well, one way would be maybe to give more. The rooms go quiet when I say that. I understand. My God. He got onto money right now? Why not? It's one area that really tests our heart. There's only one competitor God that God recognizes. He's only got one competitor on earth. Money. So I'm either serving God or money, he says. And you can't serve them both. So I make money serve me. In Jesus' name. I got it under my control. It hasn't got me under its control. It's not dictating to me. I mean, when the offering comes, and I look at my wallet, and there's that $50 note and the $100 note, and then there's the $5 note. And the little $5 note's going, use me, use me, send me. And the $100 note's creeping down the back, don't touch me. So you decide to go in the middle one. You grab the middle one. You're squeezing it so hard, the queen's got tears coming out her eyes. She's like, oh, I don't want... If that's what money's got me. But I found when I rule it, I'm able to serve God freely. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your tent. Everybody should get involved in church life. Let them. Let them. We're a permission-giving movement. We want to release you. We don't want to restrict you. We want to unload, just get you doing all kinds of stuff that you'll discover your abilities, your gifts, as soon as you're active. If we sit, people, we sour. But when we get involved, we actually sweeten because we're fighting for a cause. If we sit back and just say, yeah, this sermon's all right. Not as good as the last week one. You know. We just become connoisseurs of sermons. But when we're evolved, we get equipped. Think, I can use that for this group. I can use that when I'm doing that. I want to become that kind of person. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Don't be miserly. The word miserable comes from the word miser. You'll never find a joyless, generous person. Generosity breeds joy in everybody's heart. The miser is the miserable one. And strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Deepen our commitment to the house of God. I tell you, right now, this church is about to move into it's one of its most glorious futures, most glorious chapters. You're going to get bigger on every level. You're going to expand to the right, to the left. God has seen you up until this point. Be faithful and true. He's seen you be strong in your commitment. He's seen you in your generosity. He's seen you in your hospitality. And he has passed you. You've passed the test. You're going to another level, people. You're going to find yourself enlarged and moving forward and entrusted with greater responsibility, greater authority, greater power from the Holy Spirit to accomplish all kinds of things. A revival is coming to this church, a revival of the river of God, a revival of the move of the Holy Spirit, a revival of repentance will come to the people all around here, and they will have an encounter with Jesus Christ that will change their lives for eternity in Jesus' name. And in Melbourne, Toby, amen. Even great people have been small thinkers. The chairman of IBM in 1943 said, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Ken Olson, who's the president of Digital Equipment, he said, there is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. How limited our thinking is. When I heard that Google wanted to map every road in the world, how could you do that? What? These days, there's like 5 companies who have done it. And I'm in Greece on we're there on a holiday. I'm walking up a goat track, and I get lost, and I go on Google. They've got a map of a goat track and a mountain on an island. That's big thinking, people. Elon Musk says, we're going to go to Mars. I go, Ziv, what are you going to do? How are you going to get there? He's halfway there. Just put a rocket and caught the thing with chopsticks. That's what he calls it. I mean, all of us struggle with small thinking when we hear a big dream. But somebody's got to start dreaming. Somebody's got to start thinking. And even if other people have fed into your system a negative thing about your future, don't let it stop you. Listen to what Random Churchill, Winston Churchill's father, said to him. This is in a letter. If you cannot prevent yourself from leading the idle, useless, unprofitable life you have had during your school and later months, you will become a mere social wastrel, one of the hundreds of public school failures, and you will degenerate into a shabby, unhappy, and futile existence. That's what his father said to Winston. Forget what people have said to you. You can be far greater, far bigger. Let it be a fuel in your tank to prove them wrong. To say, no, sir, I am destined for greatness. God did not bring you into this world and say, let's create a loser. Hey, angels, here's Phil Pringle. Let's make him a complete disastrous mess. That was never his intention. And then you get born again. He says, whoa, we got him born again. Let's make him an absolute loser. Let's raise up the church to be the weakest thing on earth. Could that ever have been God? You've dialed the wrong number. That's the devil's plan. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to make you small. He wants to make you a loser, not God. He only brought you into this world to be a winner. And you say, well, how many winners can there be? As many people as there are on planet Earth. There's no limit to it. Dear old New Zealand, I'm a New Zealander. I'm a Kiwi by birth. You know, when New Zealand won the America's Cup, there was a guy who captained the yacht. His name was Russell Coote, and he was the skipper. And so at the next time round to defend the cup, they asked him to skipper again. He said, okay, I will. Here's the bill, $10 million. They said, what? You could do it for your country. He said, no, well, that's my bill. They said, no way are we going to pay $10 million for somebody to skipper a boat. So the Swiss did. They haven't even got a coastline. They don't sail. But they thought there's a chance. They hired him. They won. $10 million was cheap. It would have brought $2 billion worth of tourist dollars into the country. But Switzerland got it. It is amazing how our thinking will limit us. And especially if you've been around a Christianity that says it's more holy and more pious and more pure to be a small person, a small thinker. It might be safe, but it's not holy. You're never going to be accused of failing because you never tried to do anything. Failure is part of success. I've failed way more times than I've succeeded. But you just got to get up again. I could tell you some of the worst stories you've ever heard. You think you've got bad stories? Mine are better. They are so bad. Oh, God. The times I've fallen down. And then you've got to get up again. You got to get so brutal on your thinking and on your heart and on your mind and say, no, I'm not taking this. And that's the very grit that gets you into being an overcomer for other people so that you can lead people into the battle. You're never going to accomplish anything without a fight, without pushback. And the level of pushback is telling you how valuable the goal is. If you got no pushback, there's no goal that's of value. If you're still comfortable, you're not out of your comfort zone. How uncomfortable are you in terms of the dream? Has it stretched you? Oh, no, we came up to the Sunshine Coast just to retire and just lay back and die. People, if you're breathing, you've got purpose. If you're alive, there's something you can do for someone else. It may seem small, but you'd be amazed at how big doors swing on small hinges. You might be asked to take lunch to your brothers. Why would you do that? Because you got a serving heart and you like doing what your dad says. When you arrive to give your brother some lunch, there's a giant there. Give me a man. A Goliath. You didn't go down to have a fight with Goliath. You went down to take some sandwiches to your brothers. But that became your opportunity. The big door swung on a little sandwich hinge. Ephesians 3:19. Understand, your Father in heaven is quite big. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not and think. So thinking is as powerful as praying. Your thoughts are as loud as your prayers in heaven. The frequency might be different, but the noise is still there going out to heaven. And you can't negate your prayers with negative thinking. You're praying one thing, but thinking it's never going to happen. Lord, I pray that you... Oh, as if that's ever going to happen. Change your thinking and you change your life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Lord, this is going to happen. Amen. So you got harmony between your heart, mind, and mouth. And that unity, that integration, is powerful for releasing the Spirit of God. Faith is the atmosphere in which the power of God travels. If you provide the atmosphere, God will provide the power. It's that simple. But doubt is the atmosphere in which the devil moves and no power of God. So you get unusual bad things happening when you've provided a negative environment. And some people have just a culture of cult criticism and complaining. I mean, you get near them, you come near to a person, you say, hi, how are you? And you can feel the tractor beam drawing you in to complain about something. Because they roll their eyes, go, oh, you know, if you only knew what was happening in my life right now. They can't talk about anything else. If you said, say something else other than what you, they couldn't think of anything. Or else it's criticism. Oh, you see what the government are doing now. Oh, that local guy, you, the church down the road. It's like, can you talk any other way? They can't. They're stuck in a groove. But you could make a change today. You could determine the next time I think of a complaining or critical thought, I'm going to zip it. And I don't care how much pressure and emotional blackmail is coming from my friends to join in to that ugly, sour soup and start making it my own bitter thing. I'm going to stay sweet and redirect the conversation. Oh, that guy's a really good guy. Yeah, I know he's had a few troubles, but we're bigger than that. We love him anyway. Amen. Have you heard about that guy? No, I don't want to hear it. It gives me no joy to hear about another person's failure, another person's mistake. I'm going to be gracious and big. That's what a Christian is. They're big people who show grace in all these circumstances. But we bury ourselves, people. We bury ourselves with complaining and criticism and a negative way of thinking. So we need to contemplate how God runs the universe, and then realize that whatever I ask or think is going to be heard by that God who can arrange things any which way he likes. But we are dealing with universal principles with our thinking and our speaking all day long. And if your words were a house, what's your house look like? If your words were clothes, how you dressed this morning? Shabby or classy? Dirty or clean, nice looking or ugly looking. It's like, that's how we are. If we were to see in the spirit what we are clothed with today, it'd amaze us. And so we should walk around like kings and queens, sons of the Most High God, daughters of the Most High God, thinking in ourselves, this is how I am. Because how we see ourselves on the inside is what we'll feel comfortable with on the outside. And I've known people who've been given a brand new home. People who were out of work and didn't really want to work and just like mucking around, getting drunk. Well, within weeks, that house had broken windows, grass had grown tall, old car on the front lawn. They're out the front drinking beer because now they feel comfortable. It fits the inside. But you see, if you're a classy person on the inside and you come into a shabby environment, you'll start sprucing it up. You make it look incredible. And others who come in with that bad self-image, they get intimidated by it and they'll make criticism. But you can draw them in. Say, hey, let's rise. Let's get bigger and broader and bigger in our lives all around us. And that's what Jesus is coming to our lives for. He says, transform your thinking, you'll change your life. It begins in here. So this God we have, can he do that? Listen, there are planets out there with a cave big enough to put our entire solar system in. It's a big place out there. Do you realize that for every grain of sand on planet Earth, there are 1 billion planets out there? There are more planets than grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. It's beyond comprehension. I don't have enough RAM. I'm breaking up in here, Scotty. It never ends. What kind of God you got? Is he too small to solve your problem? No, this God is like huge. We cannot limit him. The Bible says the Israelites limited him in the wilderness. They thought, he couldn't supply food for us out here. God said, what? I can supply anything you like. Every morning you'll find some fresh sourdough on the desert floor. Muffins, whatever you like. Croissants, danishes. They're going to be there. You want meat? Okay, we've got a whole bunch of quail flying south. I'm just going to redirect them with a little wind. And they run out of steam and they fall on your ground and they're up to your knees. For 3 million people. How are we going to get water? Bang that rock. So Moses bangs the rock. Out flows a river 8 foot wide, 4 foot deep. 3 million people. They build a big dam and they're supplied. There is nothing he cannot do for you. He just needs you to start believing him and have faith in God, and it's all going to come to pass in his good time. Okay, so when we start to doubt, we do get smaller. When you believe, you get bigger. But when you doubt, you shrink back. Look at the scripture, Hebrews 10:39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. When you move backwards, you shrink and you get destroyed. The only answer is to be bold, big, and move forward. Don't let people intimidate you. Intimidation is one of the tactics of the devil to make you feel smaller. Paul said to Timothy, we have not got the spirit of intimidation. When David went to meet Goliath, his brothers intimidated him. Said, who do you think you are coming down here to watch this battle? The king intimidated him. Oh, you're just a boy. How can you ever take him on? But he convinced him. And then the giant intimidated him. Said, who are you coming out to me? He didn't care about any of the voices of intimidation, which is designed to make you timid so that you don't try anything. But the Bible says, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Everybody say that with me. Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
For the Lord your God is with you.
The Lord your God is with you.
Okay, Melbourne, I couldn't quite hear you. We need to do it again. Could you say it louder? Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
For the Lord your God is with you.
The Lord your God is with you.
That was great, Melbourne. I heard it all the way here. Sunshine Coast. Okay. When we look through ourselves, through the eyes of our problems, or your bank manager, or your landlord, you tend to feel smaller. But if you look at your world through the eyes of God, you suddenly feel a whole lot more secure. Look at this in Numbers 13, verse 33. There we saw the giants. The sons of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were like that in our own sight, in their sight. So they saw themselves like their enemy saw them. They saw themselves like the negative people saw them. Small, defeated, unable to take the land. This is when the Israelites were about to take the promised land. The Bible says, don't let anybody cheat you out of your reward. Like every one of us in this room have a reward waiting for us in Christ. And it says, don't let anybody cheat you out of it by trying to make you feel that being poor and weak and small is more humble, is more pious, is more pleasing to God. Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility. That literally means to rein in your thinking and to rein in your emotions and make them small. And worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, puffed up with his fleshy mind. So right from the beginning, God has wanted us humans to grow and be bigger. He said to Adam and Eve, go and be fruitful and multiply. He said to Abraham, come out of your tent. Look up. Can you see the stars? That's how your descendants are going to be. If you come out of your business, of your circumstances today, and look up, there's no ceiling. The possibilities are endless. Some of you might have some trouble in your family right now. Come out of that just for a minute and stop seeing all the impossibilities and look up. See, God, it's possible. My kids are going to come right. The marriage can be healed, or at least something's going to happen that will make it a lot better than it is. Come out of your business that's struggling and up against a wall. Say, God, I see you and I've got faith in you that you have designed me to be bigger than this problem. And somehow I'm going to get through it. When you invite him into your world, rather than just fretting and stressing and worrying about it, something's going to happen that breaks through in Jesus' name. Now, I'm 2 minutes over, people, but I've got 35 minutes to go. Amen. I'm just going to finish with this. In 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, but we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Each one of us are being transformed. Every time you come in here and you lift up your heart and your mind to Jesus, you're getting changed. You're getting bigger. From glory to glory. To me, that sounds like the updates on my iPhone. Because you go from one version to the next. And it's a better version. And I love it when it says update available. And you find out what it's going to do. It's going to fix your bugs. I love it when you get your bugs fixed, right? Because all of we have these bugs. We go talking to somebody, blah, 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 blah. Oh, what did I say that? Then we think something, oh, I'm thinking the wrong thing. And you behave, it's not in your character, it's out of character. And you just, somebody downloaded some very bad code into your operating system. And now it needs fixing. So praise the Lord, I got an update that fixes my bugs. I'm going to get faster performance. I'm going to get, my apps are going to work better, my gifts of the Spirit, they're going to be fine-tuned. So it says, okay, read all the conditions. Okay, read. Have you read all the conditions? Yes. Have you? Accept, submit, enter. And then it says, stay plugged in while there's this download that's going to give you upgrade. Every time you're in the house of God, don't miss the opportunity to plug in and get a download that gives you an upgrade. It's going to fix your bugs. From glory to glory. From glory. You got your new operating system when you got born again. But it still needs bug fixing. We got born again and we got a whole new way of operating in life. But occasionally we still need stuff getting fixed up. So when you connect with Jesus, instantly, that new operating system is downloaded and the old is gone. Way back in the Garden of Eden, a hacker got in the system and put bad code in us, and we just find ourselves doing the wrong stuff. But when you get that whole new operating system, you veer the other way. You want to do the right thing. And you find yourself walking on right paths and thinking differently than you thought before. It's called being born again. If you've never sort of had that, you couldn't say, yeah, that's me, that's happened to me, then in a couple of moments, I want you to say, yeah, I want to ask Christ into my life. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. There could be some of you who used to do that, used to walk with the Lord, used to be in church, haven't been for a while, and you're just coming back. I want you also to raise your hand when I ask. And then there could be people here who you go to church, but you're not sure if you're going to heaven. Like you hope you are, you're a good person, but you're not certain if it's really going to happen. So I'd like you also to raise your hand. Can I ask everybody to close their eyes right here and in Melbourne? And right now, those of you who have never met Jesus, you've never asked Christ to come into your life, this is your first time, or you've been away from God and you're coming back, or you just want to make sure that you're going to heaven right now, here and in Melbourne, wherever you are, could you raise your hand for me, please? Just put it up high in the air, and we'll pray for you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. One, two, three. Who else is there? I'll wait for you. Anybody else at all who's never met Jesus, who's coming back to Christ? Thank you. I see your hand, lady. Yeah. Thank you. I see your hand. Four. Anybody else at all? Would you raise your hand? In Melbourne, go ahead, raise it high so that we can see. We give you thanks, Lord, right now. Amen. Guys, can I ask you to look this way? And right now in Melbourne, Toby, I'll leave it to you to take that from here. I'd like us all to stand if we could. And those of you who raise your hands, I want you to pray a prayer. We're all going to pray the prayer. But especially those who raise their hands, could you please pray this prayer to God? And pray it from your heart. Let's all close our eyes and say these words to God. Dear God in heaven, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Cleanse me from all sin. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Danielle. God bless you.
Love being with you, church. You're amazing.